2:36 here on WGN. John Hansen here, and we're joined by Jim Fabrini, another Jay from Fabrini Law Group. Jim, good to talk to you, my friend.
John, thanks for having me.
You are, what do you do? Tell us, what's your firm all about?
My firm handles mainly personal injury cases for the plaintiffs. We also do a little bit of criminal defense, DUI stuff, and things like that.
Okay. I always like to remind people when we have personal injury lawyers on, there are some billboard attorneys that have given your field a bad name. You guys are often meeting people on their worst days who have been wronged, and the way we do things in our society is through a paycheck. That may seem icky to some people, but just wait till you're on the other end of someone doing something negligent to you, and that's how we work in this society, is it not?
That's, I see it all the time, yeah.
I think that just personal injury has gotten a bad rap, but you guys do important work in our society. You're almost like that pillar that helps keep corporations and other individuals on check.
We keep the insurance companies on check, that's for sure. They, insurance companies are businesses, a for-profit business, and they're driven by collecting premiums they don't like to pay out. And so we're there at the front lines fighting for people that are injured. We do get a bad rap. I think there's a lot of miscommunication out there, the ambulance chasing slur and stuff like that. But as you pointed out, when clients come to us, they're not expecting it. It's not they don't make an appointment to go see their personal injury lawyer in a couple of weeks.
Right.
They've come to us because they've been hurt and they don't know where to turn. They may need treatment. They don't know what to do. Oftentimes they can't go back to work. And this puts a big stress on not only them, but their family.
Yeah. I like to preface that with all injury lawyers, because rightfully so. Some people maybe just try and take on as many cases as they can, settle. I know you guys fight for people. That's what you do.
We do. I'm a litigator by trade. I started in law about 25 years ago, and I wanted to do trial work. It's what I wanted to do. It's what I enjoy the most. We just came off a very big trial against the CTA where we recovered a big $1.8 million verdict for our client, where the CTA was offering him $150,000 to settle. So we are not afraid to get in court and do the work. There are some attorneys out there that they will just take cases and settle as quickly as they can. But we are not afraid to take the case to trial. It's personally what I enjoy doing.
Right. And settling can be a fine option. Nothing wrong with it in theory. But as you just pointed out, the settlement offer was $150,000, you said?
$150,000.
And $1.8 million was the result. I'm not great at math, but that's more than 10 times ever so slightly.
Yes, yes. There what? Is a settlements can make sense. I don't mean to disparage that.
Yeah.
A lot of our cases, we do get nice settlements for people. I think partly that's because the insurance companies know we will take cases to trial, so we're treated a little bit differently in that regard.
Yeah, I knew right when you walked in that you were someone that liked trials. I had a hunch, Jim. Okay. We teased this segment before the news about the gig economy and how many drivers on our roadways right now are working while they're driving. They may be in vehicles that look like a personal vehicle because it's their own vehicle, but whether it's Uber or Lyft, and as a lot of people know, even Amazon drivers are often not using the vans, they're using their own vehicles. Of course, these cars are going to be getting in accidents. So this is kind of a broad question, so maybe help me out as you walk through the reasoning or how this works. But let's say an Amazon delivery driver, working hard, they're trying to meet their quota, they're in a rush, boom, they back into me or they slam into me, I get hurt. When I file a law, am I going to sue them if I need to? Am I suing Amazon? Walk us through a little of this, Jim.
Sure. The number one concern anytime someone's been involved in a crash, obviously, is where are we going to get compensation for that person? So immediately we're looking at what insurance policies are going to apply. Can the drivers be sued personally? It may be. Generally, we're trying to go after Amazon and the bigger policies they have there. Amazon calls these people delivery service providers, and there's a big fight every time there's an incident like this and a crash involving injury, whether or not that person was actually an agent of Amazon. They're not generally employed by Amazon. So there's some issues with insurance coverage there. So we're mainly looking to use Amazon as an example for them to cover it. They will fight that, but we've been pretty successful in keeping them in the game.
So do they insure their drivers while they're driving around?
Yes. There is insurance through Amazon for those delivery service providers.
Well, that seems open and shut then.
There's issues, though. There's always issues. Is the driver, is he on the direct route he's supposed to be? Has he been doing something else? Is there a passenger in his car that
is he impaired or
shouldn't
something?
Be there? Is he impaired? We've run into that a lot as well. So there are issues. The first thing any insurance company does when they hear of a claim is they look for ways to deny it. That is
right.
The first step they take. So things do seem open and shut until you're involved in one of these, and then you find out, oh, this isn't going to be as easy as I thought.
Right, and that's what a fighter needs to do, and is to go in there. We've been saying Amazon, but I imagine this applies Uber, Lyft. I'm sure each company does it a little differently, but similar rules apply across the board?
Absolutely. Uber and Lyft, that's a very unique situation, and we're seeing a ton of that in my office. One of the biggest problems we're running into is Uber and Lyft drivers asking to take fares off the app. So oftentimes we hear of, you know, you'll get into an Uber or a Lyft and the driver says, hey, can we do this off the app? Maybe give you a slight discount for a cash payment or something like that. Seems good at the time for people. But what happens is there you are actually destroying all the insurance coverage you would have. So Uber and Lyft, for an example, they carry $1 million policies. So if you're a passenger in an Uber or a Lyft vehicle, there's $1 million of coverage there for you. If you're on the app, if the driver's on the app, and if you're paying through the app. So the second you agree with that driver to say, we'll go off app, you've just cost yourself all that insurance coverage.
Now are you on the driver's insurance?
Great point. So normally you would think that's the way to go.
Right.
But the driver's insurance is going to say, well, hang on a second. He's using this car as a business. He didn't tell us he was using this car as a business. We wouldn't have insured him at these rates, so we're not going to offer coverage.
Right, because he's paying a certain amount because of what he told his insurance provider is of how he uses his vehicle, and they're going to say, well, he's not using it the way he told us he would.
Exactly. So not only do you lose the Uber and Lyft coverage, you're probably not getting coverage through that driver's vehicle either. So you've really put yourself in a spot when doing that off app. We really strongly encourage people, do not do that. Just go through the app and keep that insurance coverage there.
I just want to make sure our listeners understand. So it's like the Uber driver. You see it if you're using it and it says it's going to be $50 to the airport. He pulls up, he or she, and says, hey, look, why don't we just turn this thing off? It's fine. We'll just say you can't maybe cancel the ride here. Right. You're going to cancel it. And we'll just do $30 cash. And you're like, boy, $20 saving. Boom. But God forbid something happens, that $20 just costs you a lot.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the exact scenario we run into a lot.
Wow. I'm kind of surprised by that, but I guess I shouldn't be. And I'm not trying to discredit some of the drivers, too, because they've had their own run-ins with their company, right? Are we independent contractors? Are we employers? How much that Uber and Lyft take from those drivers? A lot of them are working hard. They're trying to make ends meet, and it often is not as fortuitous as it used to be.
Absolutely, and I think if a lot of the drivers knew that, you know, they are also putting themselves danger as well. So I don't think people realize the consequences of what may happen if a crash happens once they've taken that cash payment off the app.
What I've always wanted to know this, and. Because I shouldn't even say this. I've been very fortunate not to have been in any major incidents in a vehicle. Boy, I really shouldn't have said that. Is there any wood in the studio I can knock on? Okay, but, you know, if it's minor enough that we're both walking out of the vehicle, you see this all the time on the Ike and the Kennedy and stuff, you know, a little bit of an accident. What's the first thing I should be doing? I always wonder, do I need to be taking pictures and videos? Should I go make sure the other person's okay? Are there things I shouldn't say? Give me a few pointers here, Jim.
Sure. Number one, document the scene as best you can. You know, get insurance information right away. We always recommend if you can get the police out there and get a police report done right away. That's really important. I really recommend everybody go get checked out. Now, some people are going to be involved in crashes where, you know, obviously you're taking an ambulance to the emergency room.
Right.
Others, like you mentioned, maybe you're not so sure, you're shook up, at least head to an urgent care. You don't know what's going on internally. Just go get yourself checked out. Make sure everything's okay. A lot of times what we find from our business is we hear of people that, just like you said, they're involved with what they think is a minor crash. They don't think anything of it, and they get home, and the next morning they wake up, and the adrenaline's worn off, and all of a sudden there's some pain there. There's some injury there that they didn't have before. And this kind of starts this whole process. So I think getting some medical help right away, you know, whether it be emergency room or an urgent care, if you don't think it's that bad, is really the best step to take.
And then getting, if you can, obviously, I think, yeah, take care of yourself physically first, and especially if you don't think you do, maybe you do. But yeah, get video, I mean, that stuff matters to you, right? That's what you're going to be looking for.
It does. It does. It really helps. Number one, you know, pictures or video of the cars help to show the impact. It can show positioning of the cars and the different lanes and the traffic conditions in case a dispute arises later. A lot of people will tell you, it's not a big deal. Don't worry about it. My insurance will take care of it. And then people don't document everything as they should right away. They leave and they find out, well, the guy didn't have insurance or his insurance was canceled. And now what do you do? And, you know, bringing that up as well, it's really important, even if you're not at fault, to let your insurance company know, your auto insurance company know you've been involved in a crash. Oftentimes people don't think of that, but there is coverage. It's called uninsured motorist covered or coverage or underinsured motorist coverage that every driver in Illinois is required to have. Even if you just have what's called a liability-only policy, you have that. And this is the type of coverage that protects you if the other driver involved doesn't have insurance or doesn't have enough insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So you really want to put your insurance company on notice as well that a potential claim might happen. Doesn't mean you're going to make a claim or your rates are going to go up or anything like that, but it is required under your policy, and it just makes good sense. It makes it go a lot easier. And this is why, too, we really recommend you consult with an attorney. All our consultations are free. We work on a contingency basis, which is, you know, a fancy way of saying there's no risk to anybody. We only get paid if they get paid. And we do all the work. So it's an easy phone call to make. We are very good at reaching out to the insurance companies. We have a whole system set up in our office and people that do nothing but that all day.
Mm-hmm.
So we make sure to protect these claims early on. And, you know, that's the real key, is building the claim from the beginning. You don't know if it's going to be small or big sometimes right away, but putting all these insurance companies on notice and setting it up properly really sets you up to have a good claim.
And how soon should someone call you after an accident?
Immediately after an accident.
Really?
The insurance companies have started working against you right away. They're not
really
taking a day. Oh, absolutely. The second an insurance company hears about a crash, as I told you earlier, their first step is to figure out how they can deny the claim, how they can limit the claim. We've had numerous people call our office when insurance companies will call them and they're underrepresented or haven't had an attorney yet. And, you know, insurance companies are trying to settle out claims for $500, $1,500. We had one the other day. They tried to offer a client $1,500. We ended up getting that case settled for over $15,000. So you really do not want to go this on your own. Get a professional in there who knows what the value of claims are, how to perfect your claim. And again, we do all the work. You make a phone call, we can get you set up, and we'll take it from there. You go to your doctors, your physical therapist, get yourself better, and we'll handle everything else.
All right, we got to take a quick break. We got more with Jim in a moment. WindyCityLawFirm.com is the place to go. WindyCityLawFirm.com. Do you have a number you want to give out here for people to call?
Sure, 312-494-3131. That's our main office number, and we can get you help anytime.
Hold on, I'm slow at writing things down, Jim. Give it to me one more time.
312-494-3131.
You've done a lot of radio before. You got a good radio voice, Jim.
Well, thank you.
You want to be a radio host one day?
Maybe.
Want to switch jobs one? Yeah, exactly. There we go. Okay, let's take a quick commercial break. More with Jim Fabrini from Fabrini Law Group on WGN. Chicago's very own WGN. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Jim Fabrini in studio now from Fabrini Law Group. Jim, I got a question on the text line from the 630. If you are sued and the payout is more than the insurance coverage, can they get your house? How does that work?
Great question. Technically, yes, but there's a lot that goes into that. Now, normally, you know, the insurance companies are offered an opportunity to settle a case, what we call for policy limits. So we would make what's called a policy demand, and oftentimes insurance companies, if the case warrants it, take those a little more seriously, and that means we're pursuing the entire amount of their policy, whatever that may be. Should an insurance company fail to honor a policy demand, that does put their insured at risk. So there, a couple of things happen in that situation. Number one, the insurance company would have to hire an attorney at their own cost for the person to represent them and their own interest. And if the policy denial is found later on to be made in bad faith, the person who is now facing what we call an excess verdict and could lose their own home or other assets, that person may be able to now sue their insurance company for bad faith and put the insurance company back on the hook for the entire amount of that judgment if it exceeds their policy. So a lot of different factors going on there. But, you know, this brings up a good point, too. When we talk about insurance coverage, insurance limits, in Illinois right now, the minimum limits for a driver would be $25,000 per person, $50,000 per occurrence. What that means essentially is if the crash is involved and a person is injured, they can get up to $25,000. If there is a group of people injured, more than one, the group would look at a pool of $50,000 with no one person being able to get more than $25,000. If you think about it, that's not a lot of coverage at all.
Boy, yeah, no.
An ambulance ride to an emergency room for something serious can easily surpass $25,000. So those are the bottom line limits. Now, a lot of people, when they're out looking for car insurance, as with everything else, they're looking for the best deal. And oftentimes these policies, these what we call 25-50 policies, bare minimum policies, they're pushed by insurance companies. You don't often hear their names all that much. Mm-hmm. We call them non-standard companies in our business. And I really recommend people go with a more traditional insurance company for a lot of reasons. But even more important than that, you should not be looking at minimum coverage. And there's a lot of reasons why. The biggest one, and something I talked about a little bit before, was this idea of uninsured motorist and underinsured motorist coverage. So, again, that covers you when somebody doesn't have insurance or they don't have enough insurance. But mm-hmm. it's based on your policy limits. So if you go out and you get the smallest policy available and someone without insurance hits you or they cause an issue that, you know, is going to require a lot more than $25,000, you're stuck. So what you really want to look at, I would recommend everybody, at bare minimum, you're going to want at least what they call 100-300. That's 100,000 per person, 300,000 per occurrence. That's a pretty decent...
You'd put that as a floor.
I would put that as a floor, absolutely. And I would recommend if you can get more, do more. If you look into it, ask your insurance agent. It's not a lot of more money per year to get your limits up. But you have to look at it not only as, you know, if I do harm to somebody else, there's some compensation there for them. You really have to look at it as like I'm protecting myself. Something happens to me with an uninsured driver, and there's a lot of them out there, or underinsured driver, you're protecting yourself with those higher limits.
Look, I pinch pennies like the next person, but I was surprised. I did this exact thing. The difference per month was not as much as I thought it would be, going from 100, 300 to 250, 500, I believe,
yeah,
or maybe even,
right.
I might even have 501. I don't know. I'll have to double check. First of all, homework for everyone. Go check your auto. I mean, seriously.
100%.
I bet 95% of the people listening right now don't know what the limits is, and no judgment, because I don't either. And I remember doing it just a little while ago. Know what your limits are. Just ask the question. Obviously, as we talked about, the insurance companies, you know, they are what they are, but go with the name that you hear often. Then you call Jim Fabbrini to fight him if you need it. But just find out what those rates are on difference works. Because when I found out it was like a couple bucks a month. I was like, well, right. Never mind. Just do that one instead.
Right.
Jim, we're almost out of time. I just want to really quickly. Pedestrians. How are we covered if we're hit by a car?
Oh, great question. And we get this a lot in our office, and a lot of people don't realize. As a pedestrian, if you are struck by an automobile, your automobile policy covers you as a pedestrian or as a bicyclist. As long as any automobile is involved in any type of crash, that triggers automobile policy coverage. So again, we talk about underinsured and uninsured motorist coverage. That's the type of stuff that'll kick in. We're seeing a big uptick in pedestrian crashes in and around Chicago. Unfortunately, we're seeing a big uptick in pedestrian crashes where it's a hit-and-run vehicle.
Oh, boy, yeah.
So your insurance will cover that. Again, that's why I recommend those bigger limits. Just make yourself get yourself protected.
All right. Jim, you answered that question so quickly. I appreciate it. We got to scoot. Jim Fabbrini, Fabbrini Law Group, 312-494-3131. I get that right?
You did.
312-494-3131. WindyCityLawFirm.com. Jim, let's talk again soon.
I'd love it. Thank
all
you.
The fun. Hey, that'll do it for the show today. Quick break. Then we're going to have news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN.